Well, good morning, church. How many of you are glad to be here this morning? I'm glad to be here too. Welcome, and could you help me welcome everyone joining us online? Hey, JFam online, we love you. We're glad you're joining us. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Dave Jackson, and up until January of this year, I was one of the pastors here at The Journey. And if you're wondering, hey, where you been? We moved to Asheville, North Carolina, which is beautiful there. It's the Paris of the South, is what I'm told. And exciting news I get to share with all of you. We moved there to start a church called Rise Church, launched in September of this year. So we're excited about it. So pumped. We've been down now for almost 2 months, and we've gotten settled. We're working on building a team and raising funds and just all the things involved in launching a church. So keep us in your prayers. We need it desperately. We're excited for what God's doing. Excited for what God's been doing here as well. And I remember the first time that I told Pastor Mark that I wanted to launch and start a church, and I was a little nervous, right? I'm like, okay, this could go one of two different ways, right? It could be really good, or it could be like, okay, go ahead, see ya, you know? And I remember him leaning across the table, and he said something very simple. He said, "How can I help? How can I help?" That's the pastor that we have here. I'm really thankful for Pastor Mark and Susie and the way that they lead our church. We love them. They're our pastors, and so grateful to be able to come and be a part of what God's doing here during this series. Pastor Mark, he's in Tennessee right now. He's speaking at a great church there in Knoxville, Tennessee, and so you're stuck with me today. Is that okay? Awesome. We're closing out this series, Red Flags, and let me encourage you, if you miss any of the weeks, go back, watch those videos on our website, yourjourney.tv, get caught up. It's been a great series. I tune in every week. Like I said, Pastor Mark's still my pastor, so I want to hear his voice, want to hear what he has to say, and I guarantee you those messages will encourage you, help you really live the life that God's called you to live. We've been in this series called Red Flags, and really, this series is all about us realizing we all got red flags in our lives, right? We all got issues. I mean, you got issues. I got issues. We got issues. In fact, turn to the person next to you and warn them and say, "I got issues. I got issues." You're online. Look at whoever you're watching with. I got issues. We all got issues. You ever look in the mirror and see something you didn't like? Come on. Like your hair's messed up. You know, your clothes don't match, or that shirt's a little more wrinkled than you realize when you put it on in the morning. Or maybe you've had one of those moments where you get to a mirror and you look in the mirror and you see something that embarrasses you that you know everybody else saw, but they weren't good enough friends to tell you what was going on your face. You ever had those moments? I had one of those moments where shooting a video, the whole video, we get done with the video, I thought, oh man, I nailed that. Everybody's in there, they're watching. I replay the video, it's in 4K, and I got a hanger on my left nostril, you know, the whole time. Nobody said a word. I was on stage one time in Florida, I was wearing these black jeans, I was doing the announcements at church, and everyone's looking at me weird. They're all like, I don't know, it was just they were kind of giggling and laughing and looking at me weird. I looked down and I forgot to zip up a very important zipper in your wardrobe experience. And I was wearing bright red boxers. Let me tell you, that's a red flag nobody needs to see in church, all right? Mirrors are important. One look in a mirror would have saved me a whole bunch of heartache and embarrassment in that moment. Mirror moments in our lives are important. To go a layer deeper, it's an opportunity for us to truly look at ourselves, to see who we are, to kind of gain an understanding of what makes us and the mistakes maybe that we've made and the responsibility that we have as individuals and how important it is for us to evaluate and look at ourselves in the mirror. I heard a quote one time, and it said, if you're searching for the one person who will change your life, take a look in the mirror. These mirror moments can be so powerful. As I was preparing for this weekend, I was praying and reminded of this story. It's a famous story in the Bible. So, you know, many of you, if you grew up in church, you'll recognize the story. But even people who haven't grown up in church and don't really understand faith have heard this story. It's Jonah and the whale, right? Jonah and the whale. The Bible actually says fish, but we'll call him a whale. Whatever, it works. Jonah and the whale. And we know this story because Jonah, he gets swallowed by this fish. And I know it sounds wild, like kind of weird. Like if you're new to church, you're like, what? Like somebody got swallowed by a fish? Like what kind of church is this, right? Stick with me because there's some principles, there's some context that really do apply to us today. And here's what I want us to recognize, that the fish in the story is really a small part of what God is trying to teach us through this story of Jonah in the whale. In fact, it's the most insignificant part. So Jonah, he was this prophet in the Old Testament. And this is what a prophet is. A prophet was the person that God used to share his message with the world. And God gives Jonah this message. He said, I want you to go to the city of Nineveh, and I want you to tell them what I tell you. So we pick that up in Jonah chapter 1. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. So Jonah did a lot to get away from God. He like did the exact opposite. You ever get asked to do something and you do the complete opposite? Anyone else like that? I'm raising my hand. Maybe you got kids and you're like, man, I told that kid to do something. He got creative. He did something way extreme in the opposite direction of what I told him to do. Anybody, any parents can relate to that? You got kids like this kid, I'm going to kill this kid. If I only had a fish. Jonah got creative. He's like, you know what? I'm not going to Nineveh, God. He didn't just say no, right? It wasn't just like, no, that's not a good idea, God. I think I'll stay right here. No, Jonah, he's like, I'm selling all my stuff. I'm going to go down to the port. I'm going to find a boat that can take me as far away from where God told me to go as possible. Tarshish was 2,500 miles in the opposite direction of Nineveh. He got creative. He's like, no, that ain't me, God. I don't know what's up. I didn't hear that right. I ain't going to Nineveh. Jonah, he got this message and he ran away. He got on his ship and he traveled. And there's something interesting that happens next. And honestly, for some of us, I think it might be a bit controversial because we pick up the story. This is what it says. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. God sent a storm. I don't know about you, but that kind of messes with me a little bit. That's a little bit scary that God sent the storm. Do you ever think about that when you're looking at your own life? Everything is going wrong, and you're like, man, what is going on? I do everything right. I check all the boxes, all the things that I thought or think that I should do to be in right relationship with God. Man, what's going on, God? I check the list of my life. I love my life, my wife and my kids. I check. Okay, I'm practicing a slot and a spot, a time and place with God. Check. Okay, I'm serving on the J team. Check. Okay, I'm giving God my first in the area of giving. I'm honoring him with my tithe. Check. God, what is going on? Why is life so hard? And the interesting thing in Jonah's life is he actually was being disobedient, and God did send the storm. So there's some truth to the fact that God sends things into our lives sometimes to get our attention and purge things from us. God sent the storm, and the storm was so bad that people on the boat started asking these questions, like, what's happening? Are we going to die? Is this ship going down? what do I need to do? What do I need to do? And we pick up the story, and this is the guys on the ship. They're talking to Jonah, and they're asking him some questions. And they're saying, why has this awful storm come down on us? They demanded. Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality? And Jonah answered, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heavens, who made the sea and the land. The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he had already told them he was running away from the Lord. Oh, why did you do it? They groaned. And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, what should we do to you to stop the storm? And Jonah, in this moment, he's so defeated. He's so downtrodden. He knows that what he did was wrong. He raises his hand. He's like, guys, this is on me. And this is what he said. And I find this interesting. He's like, throw me into the sea. And it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault. He's like, just throw me overboard. Let me die. Now, listen, I like to think that I care about people. Like, I like to think that I care about people. But in this moment, I'm not like, hey, guys, just throw me over the boat. It's cool. I'm good with that. I'm like, you think you could just back this thing up a little bit? Head back to the dock. You guys go on your way. I'll go on my way. This storm's pretty bad. I get it, guys. But I'll let you go on your business. Just take me back to the dock. But no, Jonah's like, I'm not going to Nineveh. Just kill me. Throw me overboard. Get me off the boat. And then God says something else, or the Bible says something else. God sent the storm, but then he sent something else. God sent the fish, it says. Can you imagine Jonah in this moment? This really messes with me, because I'm like, is God up there? He just sending me stuff? I'm like, God, you can keep a few things, like, don't send me nothing else, God. You know, this ain't my day. But God sends the storm, and God sends the fish to swallow him. And at looking at it, you think God was trying to kill him. You see, I don't think any of us would have ever looked at the fish that was sent there as actually a mechanism to save Jonah, right? Like, I mean, like, think about it. We're swimming out in Rehoboth Beach, and a fish comes up and swallows you. You're not like, oh, praise the Lord. I didn't like my husband, no way. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I can't stand my boss. No, we don't look at the fish as a mechanism of safety or a vehicle of safety. Nobody's thanking God for getting swallowed up by the fish. But what Jonah didn't understand and what he saw as a vehicle of death was actually the transportation to his deliverance. And can I tell you, if you're not careful, if you're not patient, when difficulty hits your life, when difficulty hits your relationships, when it hits your family, when you start to go through some stuff, if you're not patient, you'll misidentify the transportation as a death sentence instead of the transportation into what God is taking you to. God sent the storm to strip Jonah of his pride. And God sent the fish to save him from himself. The only reason that Jonah ever disobeyed God was because of pride. He went to Tarshish because of pride. You see, we don't disobey God because you want to do something else. We disobey God because we think we know something better. Because if you really trusted God and you knew that he knew what was best, you'd never disobey him. In fact, the fact that we disobey him proves that we don't trust him in every area of our life. So it was pride in Jonah that said, hey, I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm going to Tarshish because that seems better. The Lord sent the storm to strip him of the pride and the fish to save him from himself. Life will consistently prove its inability to please you or save you, all while attempting to convince you to give it one more chance. Finding your satisfaction in anything other than God, finding it in relationships, finding it in success, finding it in love, finding it in acceptance, finding it in anything other than God will always prove ineffective. In fact, if you want to look for a red flag in your life, look for anything that you put over him. Jonah thought life would be better if he disobeyed God and went to Tarshish instead of Nineveh. So what happened while Jonah was in the belly of the fish? He had a mirror moment. He had a mirror moment. Who would have ever thought that Jonah's heart would have changed? That change would have happened in the belly of a fish. Man, this was no cruise liner with a view, right? This wasn't like that God walk you did around the Newark Reservoir with your journal. This wasn't a pleasant moment. This was a moment in the bottom, in the belly of a fish. Jonah had a mirror moment and was ready to change. And here's where we pick up his prayer in chapter 2. As my life was slipping away. Ever feel that way? Like, golly, what's happening, God? My life is just, it's going by so fast. I'm stuck. It says, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies. But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. Who would have thought that Jonah's deliverance would have been in the vomit? I wonder what Jonah was thinking sitting on that beach that day covered in fish guts. Man, is God angry? Is God ever going to speak to me again? Is he going to forgive me for running in the opposite direction? And maybe you felt that way as well. Maybe there's some things that you've done in your life and you look back and you're like, God, I don't know if you're ever going to forgive me. I don't know if you ever could forgive me. I don't know why you'd ever speak to me again. You're like, God, I made all these resolutions in January, and it's the end of February, and what happened? God, I told you I was going to serve more, but I didn't. God, I told you I was going to give more, but I didn't. God, I told you that I was going to live a life on purpose for you, but I've gotten distracted and lost my way. I told him that this year was going to be different. I wonder if God is ever going to speak to me again. I just wonder if Jonah had those kind of thoughts after getting vomited up on a beach. And here's what I love. God doesn't waste any time. It says he spoke to Jonah a second time. Aren't you glad that there's more to the story? Aren't you glad there's always more to the story in your life? Jonah had barely dried himself off, man. And God's like, hey, Jonah, it's me. How you doing, buddy? How's it going? How was the ride? Did you enjoy the view? Listen, are you ready to go now? Are you ready to do what I asked you to do? Are you ready? It says God spoke to Jonah a second time. And Jonah's like, man, are you sure, God? Do you know where I've been? Do you know how I smell, God? Do you know, God, where I've been? And he said, yeah, I know, because I sent the storm and I sent the fish. Sent the storm to strip you of your pride, and I sent the fish to save you from yourself. I think about Jonah. Man, what if he turned on God instead of towards God in the belly of the fish? What would have happened? You see, I think some of us, the bitterness that we have, where it comes from, it doesn't come from our time on the beach. It comes from our time in the belly. I want you to think about it for just a moment. Maybe even right now you're wrestling with this. You're angry with God about something, or you've been angry with God. Or maybe you know somebody that's angry at God, and you look back at when and why they got angry at God. Nobody gets angry at God on the beach. They always get angry and bitter at God in the belly. Life got hard. Circumstances hit again. It kept coming. It kept coming. She did this. He said that. This person passed away, or I'm stuck in this financial crisis. It's the belly. And when you get out of the crisis, you realize that you've been so mad at God in the belly that you carry that spirit, that attitude onto the beach. And this is what I want you to understand, because I think we all have those belly moments in our lives, that if you can be in the belly and you can realize, man, I know that God is doing something. He's doing something. And I know that God is good. And I know that God loves me. And I know that God is gracious and compassionate. And I know that he's full of mercy. I know that he has good plans for me. All I gotta do is endure this ride in the belly of the fish. And when the beach comes, it says that God spoke to Jonah a second time. Do you know what I love about this story? The only heart that changed in this story was Jonah's. God's heart didn't change. Some of you are convinced that God has changed his heart towards you while you've been doing this or doing that or wandered there. Can I tell you, God's heart didn't change. Once you come out of wherever you've been or whatever you've done, he's going to be there to speak to you a second time, a third time, a fourth time, a fifth time. Some of y'all need like 15 times. Whatever you need, he wants to speak to you. Here's what the Bible says and how he thinks about us. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He's slow to anger, and he is abounding in love. Glorious and majestic are his deeds. His righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. You see a theme there about God's graciousness and his compassion for you and I? His heart for you hasn't changed. His direction for your life hasn't changed. He's waiting for you to have your mirror moment, just like Jonah did in the fish. It said his life was slipping away, and he remembered the Lord. I read this story this week as I was studying, and found it interesting. It's about a person named Harley Sheffield. He gained celebrity status through an unusual mishap. He was part of a 15,000-mile relay that carried the Olympic torch to the 100th gathering of the Olympic Games in Atlanta, Georgia. His section of the relay went over the Tacoma Narrows Bridge in Washington State, and on May 17, 1996, while carrying the Olympic flame in a special stand on his bicycle, the rear tire blew out. Sheffield lost control of his bike, and the Olympic flame went out. People gasped in disbelief, but the attenders of the torch knew exactly what to do. They simply reached into the van that accompanied the traveling torch, pulled out a new torch, and relit it from the mother flame, which was always in the van, and the procession continued. Can I tell you what happened on that bridge in Washington in 1996? Happens oftentimes in our own lives. We stumble in the flame, the fervor, the excitement that we have about our faith and about our relationship with God is doused. We stare at the extinguished torch and wonder, man, can I ever be as passionate as I was? Can I ever burn as bright as I was? We look in the mirror, we turn in repentance, and we find, man, the Holy Spirit has been with us every step of the way. He's always with us, and he reaches over and he lights the torch again. And I believe that God wants to reignite some torches in your life today. I believe that. So how do I get started? What do I do? The author Max Lucado said this. He said, if there are 1,000 steps between you and God, God will take 999 of them and leave the last for you. God wants you back, but you got to take a step towards him, and that step is called repentance. Now, listen to me. I know for many of us, repentance has these bad connotations, but you know what repentance is? Repentance is Tarshish. We go our way. We do the things that we always want to do. We think that we know what's best. We go in the opposite direction of what God's called us to. Or let's go to Nineveh. Lean into God's plan for our life. Let him do through us what he wants to do. Let him speak to us. Let him guide us. Let him lead us. Let him give us peace when we need peace. Let him give us healing when we need healing. When we learn to trust God in every area of our life, we don't know best. It's a turning. It's saying, I'm going to go in the opposite direction that I think I should go or I want to go. And I'm going to say, God, you know what? I trust you. I surrender to you. I submit to you. You know best. And what happens when we have those mirror moments in our lives and we make a decision to follow? We start to see God begin to work in our lives. Jonah is sitting on the beach and he hears from God a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. So it says Jonah got up and he went to Nineveh and says the city was so big it took him 3 days to walk through the city. And it says that he shouted the message that God had given him. And this is what happens. The people of Nineveh believed God's message from the greatest to the least. Jonah's willingness to obey affected his relationship with thousands of people who were saved because Jonah was willing to look in the mirror. Can I tell you, for most of us, our relationships, the biggest issues that we have in our relationships are right here. When we look at ourselves, we don't acknowledge the red flags that we carry around in our lives every single day. Thousands of people were impacted because Jonah said, you know what? I'm going to look in the mirror. I'm going to recognize that what I did was wrong. I am going to repent and I'm going to follow after God. What if today was a mirror moment for you and you decided, you know what? I'm going to go to Plugged In today. I'm going to start living my life on purpose for God. I'm going to give myself over to what God's called and created me to do. I'm going to find people to serve no matter where my life is, no matter what kind of problems I have and what kind of mistakes I've made or issues I carry. I'm going to give what I have and watch what God will do with what you give to him, because he can do a lot more with your little than you realize. You may not have a lot of time. You may not have an experience. You may be brand new to your faith, but letting any of those things stopping you from serving others is actually a form of pride. I wonder how your life would be different in this moment, how your relationships would be different in this moment if we all had a mirror moment and we made a decision to do what God's called us and created us to do. And if you needed that reminder today, I want to pray for you. Because here's the thing. There's not a day that goes by that I don't look in the mirror. It's a never-ending process. Mirror moments happen every day. And I pray that you have one today. So if you need that reminder today, would you just lift your hands? I want to pray over us. Yeah. Let me pray. Father, today, we're so grateful, God, that you are gracious and compassionate. We're so thankful, God, that no matter how far in the opposite direction we go, or no matter how many times we put other things ahead of you or in front of you, God, you are always there waiting to speak to us again, to lead us back into a right relationship with you, into an honoring relationship with you. So today, God, we commit to look at ourselves in the mirror, God, and show us the red flags in our lives and help us change them and become the people that you've called us to be. And maybe you're here in this room today and you hear that story about Jonah and the storm and you think, man, that's my life right now. You're wrestling every day with whatever circumstance that you're in and you're like, man, I don't know if I can figure this out. I think God's trying to get your attention maybe a little bit. And he wants to help you get through. And today could be the day that you say, you know what, God, all right, I'm going all in. I'm going to put my faith, my trust in you. Listen, the thing is, and this is what we all got to realize, we all have issues, right? We all have junk in our life. We all need a Savior. We've all sinned, the Bible says, and fallen short. All it takes is our repentance. Say, God, I'm going to turn and go the other way. I'm going to put my faith and my trust in you. And if you'd like to do that today, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me. Pray it under your breath. You can pray it out loud, but believe it in your heart. That's what's key. Father, today, I recognize my need for a Savior. I'm a sinner. I'm broken. I've made mistakes. Today, I repent to you, God, and make you Lord of my life. Come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and help me through every storm. And with no one looking around, if that was you today and you prayed that prayer with me, would you just shoot your hand up real quick? Shoot your hand up. Yeah, I see those hands. Yeah, see those hands. See those hands. And Journey, would you help me celebrate the decisions that were made in this place today? Come on, put your hands together.